from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia and New Zealand discuss Indo-Pacific concept at the 8th Joint Ministerial Consultation. GIACA to present an idea of post-disaster rehabilitation and reconstruction at the IMF WBG annual meeting. Now the news in detail. Minister of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting at the 8th Joint Ministerial Consultation with Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of New Zealand, Winston Peters, in Jakarta on Friday. Besides agreeing comprehensive partnership between the two countries, the two foreign ministers also discussed concept of Indo-Pacific that has been announced before by Indonesia. Through a joint press conference, Minister Winston Peters said that his side wants to cooperate to create a structural concept, neither an idea nor thought.
Could I also say on the issues to do with our comprehensive partnership that those were discussed with a range of side issues like security, like our ongoing engagement, human connections, people connections, but also our trade connections as well. We also spent some time talking about the Indo-Pacific and what it means to us, what it means for Indonesia, what it means for our people in the Pacific as well, and how we need to work on it to give it the substance and flesh, not just the skeletal ideas.
Minister Winston Peters further said that New Zealand explained its willingness to maintain dialogue and cooperation that has been done with ASEAN. New Zealand wants to learn the details how ASEAN look at the concept of Indo-Pacific as a concept aimed at optimizing the existing cooperation. Relating to the Indo-Pacific concept, Indonesia has explained that the concept will make ASEAN play a central role or has centrality as a multilateral institution. Japanese ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, affirmed the Japanese government through Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, will express ideas on the rehabilitation and reconstruction post-earthquake and tsunami disaster in Palu, Donggala, Sigi and Parigi Mountain, Central Sulawesi. The idea will be presented by President of JICA, Shinichi Kitaoka, at the annual meeting of International Monetary Fund World Bank Group, IMF WBG, in Nusa Dua, Bali next week. The idea includes a disaster mitigation plan that has a major role to reduce the impact of similar disaster. This was conveyed by Ambassador Ishii to the media after meeting with Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, M. Fajir, in Jakarta on Friday.
The tsunami mitigation effort will be very, very important in the process of reconstruction. And I think JICA is already working on ways to support from that viewpoint. And I hope we can make some tangible announcement in the near future. Maybe next week there will be IMF World Bank meeting in Bali, where the president of JICA will visit Bali. He may have a chance to announce his ideas about our support after emergency phase reconstruction.
Furthermore, Ambassador Ichi said that the assessment is done directly on the field and to see how to build residential areas that are more resistant to the natural disaster of earthquake and tsunami. This is also important point in the reconstruction and rehabilitation process. In relation to humanitarian assistance provided, it was explained that the Japanese government has sent help for assistance including 1C-130H Hercules-type nursing unit as well as around 51 personnel of Japanese Disaster Mitigation Team, GDR, consisting of the Japan Self Defense Forces Unit. The personnel and one unit of aircraft have arrived in Balikpapan, and the plan is to begin the delivery of relief goods from Balikpapan to Palu. The relief items referred to include 500 emergency tents, 20 units of water purifiers, 20,000 Logostan waste treatment chemicals and 80 units of generators with a total value 3 billion rupiah. Bank Indonesia BI opens new opportunity for economic growth in Indonesia through cooperation with small and medium enterprises from several regions throughout Indonesia. Met during a press conference in GCC Jakarta on Tuesday, Head of Islam Economy and Finance of Bank Indonesia, M. Anwar Bashori, explained that three pillars become the basis of the value chain ecosystem formula in developing Indonesia into the center of Islam economy in the world.
Kita harus tahu dulu konsepnya ekosistem halal value chain.
First, we have to know the halal value chain ecosystem concept. So the point is that in developing Indonesia to be the center of Islam economy in the world, it was pointed out by our leaders, President Joko Widodo and Governor Bank Indonesia. So the matters are how to empower the Sharia economy, the financial assessment and research, and etc. There are three pillars. That's why if we talk about halal value chain, there are three phases. Each pillar is different. The Sharia economy has three stages. The first one is how to identify the Sharia entrepreneurs in Indonesia. So in regard to the small and medium enterprises and others, we talk about the local halal value chain. To make it come true, Bank Indonesia cooperates with VP Subedi, a fashion designer that has successfully gone international in fashion industry. VP established VP Subedi Foundation, that is an organization of Indonesian creative industry, ICRA, that aims to develop creative industry entrepreneurs in rural areas in food and fashion sectors. On the same occasion, VP also explained the basis of ICRA's establishments.
Berdasarkan data itu, akhirnya saya berinisiasi untuk membuat sebuah presentasi.
Based on data, I finally initiated to make a presentation how every province and regional government should have a special agency to develop the Sharia small and medium enterprises to be distributed nationally. In regard to the idea, I make separate programs and working system. Then I finally discussed it with Bank Indonesia, and apparently we have the same goals, so the ICRA was established. VP further said that ICRA will not only develop products but also help the market of Sharia entrepreneurs through branding carried out by the designers and entrepreneurs who cooperate with ICRA. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB hopes that the Indonesian government will provide additional funds for disaster emergency. According to BNPB, the ideal disaster emergency fund allocation for Indonesian fast and disaster prone region is 15 trillion rupiah. At present, the disaster emergency fund allocation given to BNPB reaches 4 trillion rupiah. Through a press conference in Jakarta on Friday, head of the Information and Public Relations Center of BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, stated that with the additional funds for emergency disaster, the handling could run faster. He said that the side has discussed the proposed additional funds for disaster emergency with the House of Representatives DPR. However, until now, the funds have not been realized because the Indonesian Minister of Finance is still discussing it.
Banyak wilayah.
There are a lot of regions, so we suggest the research fund of disaster management amounting to 4 trillion rupiah is to be increased. What is the ideal? Ideally, it is 15 trillion rupiah. If there is such a situation, the disaster management can be faster, both for emergency and post-emergency. While disaster insurance is really very necessary, it has been discussed several times between BNPB and the House of Representatives at Commission 8, but until now, it cannot be implemented. Stoppelfelder said the disaster funds amounting to 4 trillion rupiah is considered insufficient even for one disaster such as in Central Sulawesi nowadays. He compared the earthquake that occurred in West Nusa Tenggara some time ago, which required funds worth 10 trillion rupiah for the emergency response and recovery. Wherever Indonesia is included in the list of countries that are prone to disaster, and the handling process will certainly require high cost. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Ministry Armanata Nasir to media in Jakarta on Friday said that his ministry has confirmed the entry of humanitarian assistance from Japan to Indonesia by using Hercules C-130 aircraft. Japan also sent its aircraft 8, which has landed at Sultan Haji Muhammad Sulaiman Airport, Sepingan, Balikpapan, East Kalimantan. It is one of the 23 aircrafts which has been given flight clearance from Indonesian government to enter Indonesian region.
Ya, jadi total kita Kemlu sudah mengeluarkan 23 flight untuk 23.
Indonesia has issued flight clearance for 23 aircraft from 12 countries last morning, and Japan aircraft which brought 8 arrived at Yen in Balikpapan. As said by Foreign Minister, humanitarian assistance from New Zealand has also arrived. Totally, we have issued 23 flight clearances for 12 countries. Armanata Nasir also said the number of countries which transport international aids will increase for hours ahead. Since the earthquake and tsunami event in Central Sulawesi, there had been many foreign aircrafts which transport aid, such as from England, Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, and New Zealand. Besides, the U.S. has also studied its readiness to send 3 military aircrafts to bring aid to the impacted regions of earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi, Montont, Central Sulawesi. The last item, Chief of Indonesian Military TNI, Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, reaffirmed that TNI is committed to maintaining neutrality at the 2019 general elections. The success of securing simultaneous 2017-2018 regional elections has become a milestone in maintaining legislative and presidential and vice presidential election 2019. This was stated by Chief of TNI Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto on his mandate, which was read by Indonesian Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono at the commemoration of the 73rd anniversary of TNI at Mopa Airport, Merauke, Papua on Friday. TNI keeps on maintaining unity as well as becoming a fortress of integrity of unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Thus, the Chief of TNI emphasized the person of TNI must maintain and enhance solidity of TNI and unity with the people so that TNI always becomes unifier and national adhesive. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to News from Indonesia, a special segment that presents interesting information from around the country within a week. The first news came from Kerinci, Jambi. Acting Governor of Jambi, Fahrori Umar, Wednesday, October 3rd, opened the Kerinci Festival in Kerinci Regency. In his remarks, Fahrori said the Kerinci Festival is one of the government's efforts to develop a new paradigm of tourism by utilizing the existence of unique natural resource potentials. According to Fahrori, besides the local government must also develop the widespread biodiversity in Bumi Sakti Alam Kerinci. Kerinci Festival is held from 3rd to 7th October 2018 in two venues, namely Lake Kerinci and Aroma Peko Tourism Object Kayu Aro, which is the most favorite highland in 2016 and visited by many tourists. Fahrori hopes that the Kerinci Festival can contribute to alignment with the economy of the people and can be sustainable. next news came from Bantul, Yogyakarta. Workshops on the natural coloring of batik held at Batik Geriloyo Village, Wukirsari Village, Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region on October 5th and 6th are expected to further introduce the center of batik. The workshop on natural coloring of batik held by the Yogyakarta Regional Craft Council was a series of biennial activities in the preservation of batik entitled Jogja International Batik Biennial. Secretary of the Office of Cooperative Small and Medium Enterprises and Industry of Bantul, Kesi Irawati in Yogyakarta, Monday, October 1st, explained the location of the batik workshop that presented competent speakers in the field of natural coloring of batik was the choice of the Yogyakarta Regional Government. She welcomed positively because it could further introduce the hand-painted batik center. Meanwhile, the head of Yogyakarta Handicraft Division, Pauline Napitupulu, said the Batik Natural Coloring Workshop was attended by 125 participants from various provinces in Indonesia and abroad. Through these activities, it is expected that participants will get good natural dyes in paste and dipping process and how to quickly and efficiently enter the market at economical prices. The latest news came from Jambi. Students of the Faculty of Business Economics, Jambi University, developed several local food products that have now been marketed online through social media networks. Fia, one of the students who participated in the project, Wednesday said she had developed some products, namely fried pineapple, Kladik taro chips, and banana chips. The food products produced by the students were presented in the workshop on intellectual property rights (IPR) held by the Jambi University Institute for Research and Community Service. The innovation product from the student comes from local farmers. As for fried pineapple products, the raw materials are owned by pineapple plantation farmers in Muaro, Jambi. In addition to products produced by students, there are also a number of local products produced by small and medium-sized businesses. Meanwhile, coordinator of the Jambi University LPPM Study Center, Dwi Hartati, said that the local products displayed were the result of innovation from students, which later would enter commercialization. Well, listener, that was news from Indonesia. I'm Putri Safiti Adela. Thank you for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listeners, meet again with me, Ahmad Faisal, in our regular program. Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from film screening of The Jazz Singer on October 6, 1927. The Jazz Singer was the first American story film which presents complete music, dialogue, and singing. The spread of this film marked the beginning of the voice film era and reducing of the silent film era. This film was produced by Warner Bros. We turn to the event of Yom Kippur War. On October 6, 1973, by hoping to regain territory occupied by Israel during the Arab-Israeli War in 1967, Egyptian and Syrian forces launched a coordinated attack towards Israel at Yom Kippur, the holiday of the Jewish calendar. Surprisingly, Egyptian forces attack Israeli defense forces. Egyptian forces repelled Israeli forces far into the Sinai Peninsula, while Syria struggled to reoccupy Golan Heights controlled by Israel. Then Israel counterattacked and re-seized Golan Heights. an Egyptian Israeli ceasefire guaranteed by the United Nations finally was conducted on October 25, 1973. We end today in history with an event of President of Egypt Anwar Sadat killed. Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat was an Egyptian soldier and politician. He served the third president of Egypt on 15 October 1970 until he was killed on 6 October 1981. Western world assumed that Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat was an influential person in Egypt and the Middle East during modern history. In 1964, after occupying many positions in the Egyptian government, he was elected by President Gamal Abdel Nasser to be vice president up to 1966. He became vice president for the second time in 1969 up to 1970. After Gamal Abdel Nasser passed away, Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as the third president of Egypt in 1973. Anwar Sadat, along with Hafez al-Assad from Syria, led Egypt in Yom Kippur war against Israel to reconquer Sinai Peninsula controlled by Israel when it was the Suez Canal crisis in 1959 and Six-Day War. Well, listeners, that's today in history from RI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Indonesia receives financial information from 58 countries for tax purposes. Indonesia has received financial information from 58 partner jurisdictions in order to implement customer data exchange for tax purposes, or known as automatic exchange of information. In return, Indonesia has sent a report containing financial information to 51 partner jurisdictions. In total, there are more than 1,800 financial information reports originating from domestic financial services institutions in the banking, capital market, and insurance sectors through the Financial Services Authority's Foreign Customer Information Reporting System. Director of Potential, Compliance and Acceptance of the Directorate General of Tax, Ministry of Finance, Yon Arsal, during a press conference in Jakarta, Wednesday, October 3rd, said this year Indonesia has implemented automatic exchange of information, beginning with the obligation of all financial institutions to register with the Directorate General of Taxes. The Indonesian government has committed to participate in improving its tax sector by becoming a member of countries that implement automatic exchange of information. There are two batches of countries participating in the Automatic Exchange of Information membership, namely those who have actively started their tax exchange data since 2017 and those who have just started in 2018. Quoted from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development (OECD) website, there are 51st collection countries that started actively exchanging taxation data in 2017. Indonesia is included in the 20 countries of the second group that began actively exchanging tax data in 2018. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Putri Safri Adela. Thank you for listening.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Minister of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held Jakarta meeting at the 8th Joint Ministerial Consultation with Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of New Zealand, Winston Peters, in Jakarta on Friday. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii affirmed that the Japanese government through Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, will express ideas on the rehabilitation and construction post-earthquake and tsunami disaster in Palu Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi, Mountain, Central Sulawesi. Bank Indonesia BI opens new opportunity for economical growth in Indonesia through cooperation with small and medium enterprises for several regions throughout Indonesia. Met during a press conference in JCC Jakarta on Tuesday, Head of Islam Economic and Finance at Bank Indonesia, Amd Anwar Bashori, explained that the three pillars become the best value chain ecosystem for Hula in developing Indonesia into the center of Islam economy in the world. National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB hopes that the Indonesian government will provide additional funds for disaster emergency. According to BNPB, the ideal disaster emergency fund allocation for Indonesian fast and disaster prone region is 15 trillion rupiah. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Armanata Nasir, to media in Jakarta on Friday said that this ministry has confirmed the entry of humanitarian assistance from Japan to Indonesia by using Hercules C-130 aircraft. Chief of Indonesia Military TNI Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto reaffirmed that TNI is committed to maintaining neutrality at the 2019 general elections. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Reta Lowu from Maumere Dance, East Nusa Tenggara Province. So, stay tuned. Listener, in Sika Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, on Flores Island, Romanduru Hamlet is occupied by a group of local people called Atakroe or Kroe people. Nickname of Atakroe refers to the meaning of Kroe word, which means mountain, and Ata means people. Thus, Atakroe is often meant as a highlanders because their territory and residences are located on the mountain. Listener, Kroe tribe has traditional dance called Reta Lowu. The dance describes fighting technique and how ancestors of Maumere and Kroe tribe at that time defeated their rival only by using bamboos. Listener, the dance consists of three dances which are combined, namely Awi Alu, Magemot, and Reta Lowu dance. The dance is danced in a row by dozens of female and male dancers. Usually, the dancers are accompanied by gong waning rhythm. The three dances are related to war skills that must be possessed by every man. Listener, Awi Alu dance describes skill exercises of lower body. In this step, the dancers will jump among bamboos which are hit by other dancers. The hitting bamboos will produce sound. There is also Magemot dance. The dance is aimed to train upper body skill. On Magemot dance, the stick will be placed parallel with the neck. The last dance is Reta Lowu, which shows spying skills. At the session, a male dancer equipped with his sword will climb a bamboo which is held by his co-dancers. The dancer with his top match will rest on the tip of the bamboo. He spins to all directions like he is monitoring situation, while some females dance around it. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Reta Lau from Maumere, East Nusa Tenggara Province. I'm Putri Safiti Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRW Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In this edition, I will present information about the new variant of Indonesian batik. So stay tuned into RRW Service Voice of Indonesia. Batik is famous Indonesian textile product. Batik was even included in the list of masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity by UNESCO on October 2, 2009. Although Java is known to be the origin of batik, there are many other batik variants that can be found all over Indonesia. If you happen to be a batik lover, be prepared to fall in love with a newcomer in the variety of Indonesian batik, namely Raja Ampat Batik. As is well known, Raja Ampat is one of the maritime tourism destinations in Papua that is favored by local and foreign tourists. The natural beauty of Raja Ampat, the white sand, the blue sea, and the rich flora and fauna that characterize Raja Ampat are the inspiration for the emergence of this Raja Ampat Batik. It was Chandri Andri Suripati and his wife Adriana Imelda Daat who since 2011 have been trying to develop Raja Ampat Batik. Both have the same goal, namely to preserve the Raja Ampat arts. Moreover, the existence of Raja Ampat Batik is still rarely exposed and is more widely used in formal regional events. Raja Ampat Batik has a unique motif and is different from other batik. The motifs found in Raja Ampat Batik strongly illustrate Raja Ampat's natural world, ranging from the motifs of fish, shellfish, starfish, coral reefs, to butterflies. In addition, Raja Ampat Batik is also dominated by beautiful bright colors like blue, orange, green, and pink. These bright colors make Raja Ampat Batik more attractive. It is hoped that the presence of this variety of Raja Ampat Batik can not only preserve the arts of Raja Ampat, but also can improve the economy of the Raja Ampat community. Raja Ampat Batik is also expected to become a new identity of Indonesian batik. That was Miscellany for today featuring Raja Ampat Batik. We will meet again in the next edition of Miscellany with other interesting topic. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me Putri in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Sarwenda. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Malaikat Penjaga Hati.
Hatiku pernah terluka, ku rapuh dan tak berdaya. Hingga ku tutup hati ini, kini dirimu hadirkan cinta dan janji tulus setia yang telah lama ku nantikan. Kau hadir dalam hidupku, ku terhanyut untaian kata cintamu. Aku jatuh cinta. Mungkinkah dia cinta yang ku nantikan, yang selama ini ku dambakan. Cipta untukku selamanya. Mungkinkah dia selalu setia menjaga cinta selamanya?
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Malaikat Penjaga Hati, the newest song of Sarwenda, which has been played simultaneously at radios throughout Indonesia since August 29, 2018. The lyric of the song describes expression of someone who is hurt, but the hurt is cured by the existence of lover who presents sincere and faithful love. Sarwenda, who has complete name Sarwenda Tan, was born in Jakarta, August 29, 1989. Before entertaining in Indonesian music industry, Sarwenda was a teacher and translator of Chinese, but all of them have changed when she got opportunity. She was selected to join in Cherry Bell. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Antara Benci dan Rindu. Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Sarwenda. Antara Benci dan Rindu song was created by Obi Mesak, which earlier was popularized by Ratih Purwasih in 1980s. Its lyric is quite romantic, and it tells about one's heart that is confused. Although her feeling is disliked, her heart still misses to see his face and smile. Listener, in 2012, Sarwenda resigned from Cherry Bell. Since then, Sarwenda has acted as soloist. Until now, she has released 7 singles. In addition to singing, Sarwenda is also active in making video content on YouTube along with her husband, Ruben Onsu, who is also an actor. Well, listener, that was our segment Music Corner for today by featuring Sarwenda's songs. To conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the next 2 songs entitled Kesakitanku and Patah Jadi Dua. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. Thank you for listening.
Dulu aku kau cintai sepenuh hatimu. Dulu aku kau kejar-kejar, ingatkah kamu? Tapi sekarang kau pergi dengan cinta yang lain. Setelah janji suci, setelah bahagia yang kita rasakan, aku tahu memang ada salahku sehingga dirimu mampu mendua. Sewajarnya kita bisa bicara, tak perlu kau sakitiku seperti cintaiku. Aku sakit bila mendengarkan itu, jujur aku tak sanggup. Jangan bohongi hatimu untuk dia, pergi saja. Jangan sakiti aku, jujur aku rela, tapi tak mau dengar kau bilang tak pernah cinta. Sewajarnya kita bisa bicara, tak perlu kau sakitiku seperti ini.
Aku rela melepas dirimu, tapi jangan bilang kau tak cintai.
Jangan kau bilang
mendengarkan itu,
jujur aku tak sanggup. Jangan bohongi hatimu untuk dia, pergi saja. Jangan sakiti aku, jujur aku rela, tapi tak mau dengar kau bilang tak pernah cinta.
ku selalu bersabar menantikan dirimu, karena aku sayang padamu dengan kesungguhanku. Aku rela bersabar menantikan.
Bersembunyi darinya, engkau pergi. Bukan berarti tak setia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.